It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
It's over. The Super Bowl has come and gone. It is now time for big time basketball. There's a lot going on in the NBA. We got stuff going on in LA. We got stuff going on in Phoenix. We got stuff going on in Golden State. The Boston Celtics have become relevant. Philly is on the scene. There's so much to get into. Hell, it's First Take. I might get into some baseball for crying out loud, some basketball, some more football. But I want y'all to remember one thing and one thing only. No matter who shows up, this is my show.
Hold on, time out here. Wednesdays, it is my show. Because Russo has showed up. And I'll tell you something right now. You can do NBA. You can do this Aaron Donald nonsense. Matthew Stafford. Now you have a challenger. What? 2 hours on Wednesday. I'll be raring to go.
He hasn't even started yet, and already he's so disrespectful.
I love you, but
First
this is
in the house.
All right.
Let's go.
I mean, why waste my time? Every single freaking year, I get myself juiced up with this stupid team, and at 43 years of age and 3 kids, enough already.
I'm supposed to push Bonds and McGuire in the Hall of Fame who cheated. Is there an integrity issue in that?
Wait, I'll get that with the integrity.
You know what, Jordan Bedou? My God almighty, you couldn't rip that uniform off of. If you're a referee or an umpire or an official, keep yourself out of the game.
You want to talk about great defenses? How about the 62 Packers? Do you want to go there?
You guys with their football here in 2020? You know anything about it?
I'm not for ready with the water.
When am I ever going to have a chance to win a lousy freaking champion? One time. Not 20. One lousy time.
Christopher Mad Dog Russo, welcome to the team.
Oh, Molly,
sir.
I'm delighted. Looking forward to debating our little pal over there.
Oh, it's Stevie Dunn, Stevie A. Lot of fun. I tweeted this gentleman, if the energy in the meeting was any indication, buckle up, folks, and I include myself in that. By the way, Jay Will also standing by to get at you as well.
I got you. Good morning, Molly.
Good morning.
I love the
I'm
outfit.
Excellent.
I love
Thank
the
you
boots
very much.
You ain't got on a white.
Oh,
boots
my goodness.
Like you did a few
the
weeks ago.
Fashion
but
police,
so
too.
It's very, very
this
nice.
Man. Hey,
Dougie,
nice.
What's going on, Dougie boy?
Yes, sir.
What's going on, Dougie boy? How you doing?
How you doing, pal?
I'm doing great, man. This happens.
You look good. Thank you for having me, by the way, for your shows on Wednesdays. I appreciate it.
It is my honor and privilege.
Don't give me the honor nonsense.
Now, I apologize.
You did nice job.
It's not nonsense. Can I be respectful? I mean what I'm saying.
I guess at 10 o'clock you can. I'll see you in about 10 minutes.
All right. But I just wanted to say it's wonderful having you on this show. You'll be on pretty much every Wednesday. And I want to apologize in advance because, you know, I love you. But what's going to happen to you on Wednesdays, I just want to extend my condolences to you and Mad Dog Nation. It's a different day on Wednesday mornings. Y'all in trouble. That's all I want to say.
Oh, my God.
That's all I want to say.
Gentlemen.
No,
let's
right.
get
let's
to
go.
It. Okay?
Let's get to it. Fire away.
Let's begin. So right after we went off the air yesterday with the Ben Simmons press conference, the man he was traded for, James Harden at the podium in Philly, the Sixers looking forward to Harden's debut. Did you see this, guys? After a 48-point beatdown from the Celtics. Take a listen.
It's a time where I needed to be, around guys that I know that want to win. And know that are willing to do whatever it takes to win, and the structure here is unbelievable. That's the goal, man. That's the goal. Like Daryl said, the opportunity, the window is now. Joel is playing the best he's ever played. So my job is to come out there and help him and help the entire team win the championship this year and years going forward.
Boy, he is tough to take. I mean, how many teams does he want to play for in the last couple of years? He bailed himself out of Houston because he didn't like the idea that they could no longer win after they did everything for him, including Westbrook, and gave him all that money. Then he goes to the Nets because he felt he could, you know, help with Durant. Didn't like the way it finished up with Kyrie with the vaccination. Durant's hurt, so he says, you know what? Let me get myself out of here. His buddy GM is down in Philadelphia, so he figures he can work with Murray and they can have a nice little kumbaya. Here's the bottom line about Harden.
Okay.
Can you play in an NBA final? Yeah. He did once. He was bad. Can he make a big play and do some nice things in a conference final?
Yeah.
Do we all forget about Game 7 against Golden State when he couldn't throw the ball in the ocean? 2-for-13 from three when the Warriors won the Game 7 in Houston. Mm-hmm. Harden's a little tough to take. It got to be fair. A little tough to take. And I'm very concerned about him in Philly because when things get a little tough, he's got a history now of bailing. He bailed on you. Jerry West bailed on the Lakers when they lost the Celtics year after year. Did Bird bail? I mean, Durant bailed, but at least he helped Golden State win a championship, for crying out loud.
Okay.
I mean, it's a little rough.
So you don't trust him on the court, in the playoffs, or loyalty as a team? So.
I do not trust. First of all, I don't like his game in a big spot, mm-hmm. and I don't trust him when things get a little dangerous, how he is going to respond. So I am down on Harden.
Couple of things. First of all, rules of the game on First Take.
What?
Molly is the matriarch of the show. You have to let her ask the question first.
Yeah.
You did not let her ask
the question. I did jump in. I apologize.
You jumped in.
Do not apologize. He's enthusiastic, and he was ready to go.
You jumped in. Okay, that's number one.
Christopher, I'm
number two. I'm the guy you got to debate. You're looking at her. She's much better to look at than me, but you're looking at her as if that's the one.
So you're going to tell me Harden's great
now? You got to look at me, okay? I'm the person that you got to debate with. That's number two.
The rules are out of the way now.
The rules, Mad Dog, the rules. Here's the deal. Did you know that James Harden is a career 28-point-per-game scorer in the playoffs?
So
we're talking about a guy. Now, mind you, he's shooting 42% from the field. He shoots like 32% for three-point range. Those numbers are down from what he does in the regular season, no doubt. And you can point to a multitude of times against the Spurs, against the against the Golden State Warriors.
More than once.
Okay? There was a time. I remember when the Clippers lost a huge lead. They had an opportunity with Lob City, with CP3, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan to get to the conference finals. They had a game 6 at the Staples Center at the time before it became Crypto.com Arena or whatever
the hell
it is. Okay? And Houston came back from that game with Harden on the bench, with Dwight Howard and these boys on the court. So I understand that there are times where James Harden has come up smaller than what we expect from him in the postseason. I'm not denying that. But when we think about what we're asking here, can you rely on Harden for a deep playoff run? I would say yes. And let me tell you why I would say yes. Number one, when has Harden ever had a dude like Embiid to ball with? It's never happened. We understand the greatness of CP3. By the way, miracle has happened. CP3 has gotten even better than he was when he was on Houston. He's better now on Phoenix. Years later, at 36 years of age, okay? Russell Westbrook, we know what a Herculean athlete he is. But in the same breath, of course, that was problematic, those two together, because they both need the ball. We understand that Dwight Howard was never the answer. I like Dwight Howard, 3-time defensive player of the year, shot blocking, whatever. But when he went to Houston, he thought that he was going to be an offensive player. No, you're not better than James Harden on the offensive side of the ball. This situation in Philadelphia is the best that Harden has ever had in terms of playing with Joel Embiid, who is my vote for league MVP if the season were to end today. I will remind you again, Harden's averaging 28 a game on 42% shooting. It's not like the dude is a scrub and he wets the bed and can't produce.
Right.
And when you look at that, then we take into account the Eastern Conference. Okay, you've got Brooklyn, you've got Milwaukee, you've got Miami. Philadelphia is right there in the mix. Last night's massacre at the hands of the Boston Celtics, notwithstanding, and at some point we'll have to talk about the Boston Celtics because they have really stepped it up. All I'm saying to you is James Harden is still one of the most prolific offensive players this game has ever seen. Let's not act like we get to ignore that.
What, did we give him a pass last year because he had a bad hamstring in Game 7 against Milwaukee, 5 out of 17 from the field?
I absolutely do.
We give him a pass.
Last year, not the others.
We give him a pass.
But last year, yes. I don't hold anything.
How about the old line, when you're injured, don't play. When you play, don't injure. He played. I'm supposed to evaluate his injury?
Let me answer that question because, see, I'm one of the millions that listen to Mad Dog.
You do. You know me pretty well.
So I've heard the things that you said. I will remind you, he wasn't supposed to play. Kyrie went down. Kyrie messed up his ankle in Milwaukee, was not available for action.
I understand.
And they basically said, Harden, whatever.
So he gets pass in Game 7?
Absolutely.
He gets a complete pass.
Absolutely. Complete pass in
How
Game 7.
How about bailing out on Durant? Doesn't that bother you?
Bailing out on Durant?
Yeah, this year.
Bailing out.
Well, Durant's going to come back and play. Durant's the best player in the league.
Excuse me. First of all, we're not holding Durant accountable in that regard. We know that Durant is the best player in the world. It's when he's healthy, as far as I'm
concerned. Oh, no question about it. I agree with you on that.
He's the best player in the world.
He's better than LeBron right now.
Yeah, without question.
100%.
No disrespect to LeBron, but Durant is on another level.
That is the best question. Why don't you hold that against him?
Because when I'm looking at the Brooklyn Nets situation, it's been dysfunction from day one. Remember, Kyrie goes to Brooklyn. They're supposed to go to the New York Knicks. Kyrie convinces KD, let's go to Brooklyn. Number two, Kyrie is on the record saying, we don't really need a coach, okay? Which is why you could go and hire Steve Nash, who's never had any coaching
experience. And they fired Atkinson, who didn't deserve it.
That's right, who did not deserve it. And don't get me wrong, I like Steve Nash a lot, and I think Steve Nash has a promising future. But the fact of the matter is, he never coached on any level before he was hired as the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. So you take that into consideration, and then all the stuff that has transpired since the pandemic has taken hold. James Harden didn't come here for that. He didn't come here for that.
Well, what's the excuse about bailing out on Houston? What's the excuse there? They gave him everything he wanted and he bailed. How'd he act like a jerk to do it? Doesn't that bother you?
Yes, it does. But here's the thing, Mad Dog. Daryl Morey abruptly walked out the door, okay? Listen, I got a lot of love for Tillman Fertitta, the owner for the Houston Rockets. And definitely James Harden could get whatever he wants. We all understand that. But you had your window. The window had closed.
And
Daryl Morey walked out the door.
Right.
Harden wanted to walk out the door with them.
Initially,
they said no. How he handled his
was awful. That shows you character.
All right.
In a big game seven, that's the sort of thing you're dealing with.
What's up with all the emotion? What's up with all the emotion? The character thing that you keep bringing up. I can bring up character stuff about GMs, coaches, owners.
He's a player.
And so he's
They're not playing.
So he's supposed to
have
a different standard? He's supposed
to be. Yes, of course. He's making $40 million a year.
So what? The point is that you get the assets for him. He didn't want to be in Houston no more. Okay, fine. He goes to Brooklyn. He shows up. He's ready to ball Kyrie.
But Durant's there. Well, he's not playing with a slouch. He's got Durant. He's going to come back and play.
Excuse me.
He can win a championship with Durant. Durant's better than him.
Excuse me, but Durant is riding with Kyrie. So he said, okay, Daryl Morey's in Philadelphia. That's my man. I see that he's the president of basketball operations. Right. He has more control over the situation. That's a better environment. And by the way, in fairness to Harden, he always wanted to go to Philly. The issue is that Daryl Morey had abruptly left the Houston Rockets. So you know the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, they weren't going to chain the Philadelphia.
They weren't going to do business with Philadelphia at that particular moment in time. So he had no choice.
I understand. But if you are on this level of a player and you want to be considered one of the great guards in the history of the NBA, and you give me the
he ain't worried about
28
that. He worried about the chip.
But here's the thing. You have to play well in those games which define greatness.
Okay.
And Harden has not done that in his career.
He ain't having Embiid either.
Well, he had good players.
He had good players,
come on,
but he didn't have Joel Embiid.
He was 12 for 29 in Game 7 against Golden State in his building with a lead.
Nobody.
Get the job done.
Nobody's
play in the final. Win a conference final.
Okay. Calm.
You got to give him.
Calm
you got.
Down.
You want to put him down on this level before he's even played the final.
I didn't say put him on any level. What I'm saying is, do I believe that the brother can have a formidable postseason? I'm not talking legacy here. I didn't absolve him from some things that you pointed out outside of last year. He gets a complete pass from last year. But every year before that, when he messed up in the playoffs, no, I'm not absolving him from that. But even as we sit here, we say, yo, James Harden could do better in the postseason. The brother averages 28-7-5 on 42% shooting, 32% from three-point range. I'm sorry, I've seen significantly worse. Now, he's got to step up and take it to another level. But he's playing with Joel Embiid. As far as I'm concerned, him and Jokic, the best two
people
in basketball.
And that was a great point. He had Kevin Durant.
He had a 3-2 lead on Golden State. Thank you,
no,
Mike.
Stephen A., it's true. You always talk about Kevin Durant's
He's the best player in the league. He's the best in the world.
And if you're going to hold it against Kyrie for letting him down, I mean, James Harden.
Well, you could say that, but what I'm saying to you is, if you're Harden and you see that those two brothers are thick as thieves and you have an issue with Kyrie and no matter what, KD gonna side with Kyrie,
right,
that's not a situation
so
you want to be in.
Three's a crowd. I get it. All right.
Three's a crowd.
All right.
I like that. That works for
me. Okay, we'll leave it on that note. Speaking
that
of three's a crowd, we got to bring someone else in here. Jay Williams.
What's he doing it? Why is he here?
Jay, get out here. So yesterday, we took the Ben Simmons press conference live, but we only had a few minutes to unpack a whole lot. And apparently, Jay had some issues with Mr. Stephen A.
What else is new?
Here's a condensed version. Then we'll really hash it out together like a family.
To me, it was just making sure mentally I was right to get out there and play again. So that's something I've been, you know, dealing with. And it wasn't about the fans or coaches or comments made by anybody. It was just a personal thing for me. That was earlier than, you know, that series or even that season that I was dealing with. You know, and that organization knew that. So it was something that, you know, I continue to deal with, and, you know, I'm getting there and getting to the right place to, you know, get back on the floor.
You guys do have a game in Philly in a couple of weeks. Do you think you can be ready for that? You know, physically, mentally, you know, I imagine it's a pretty.
I hope so.
Okay, Stephen A., for the folks that missed us yesterday, how did Ben Simmons come across in this press conference the first time speaking since the trade?
First of all, I think it's important to point this out.
Hi, Jay Williams,
pleased.
By the way.
I'm very pleased with the blaze of the look. It's very impressive. I have to confess, yes. It's very impressive. I do like the blazer and the tie right there. That works. Usually you got the hoodies on and I'm trying to coach you how to dress. Not today. That's very good. Let me get that out the way. Secondly, let's get to the bigger point. I think Ben Simmons yesterday came across as ill-prepared for the press conference. Mm. All right? Mm-hmm. And I apologize to some people out there in Ben Simmons' camp. I was supposed to call y'all back. I've been busy. That's why I didn't call y'all back. It's my apology. I dropped the ball because I was supposed to call him back and let him know. This is how I feel and what. Damn it, that's why. But anyway, Ben Simmons came across as ill-prepared. He said he had mental health issues, and in the same graph, he said it wasn't really about that. I had personal issues. Mm. Well, that's not the same thing. And because that's not the same thing, you basically said that, you know, and you were talking out of both sides of your mouth. It wasn't nothing against teammates, nothing against coaches, nothing against the city of Philadelphia, none of that. But then you pointed to personal things that were happening and things that you were experiencing, and it just made you want to leave. Well, which one is it? So there were some inconsistencies there, particularly when you're trying to get your money back, some of the money they kept from you because you weren't playing basketball. So I think on that level, it didn't look great, but I didn't blame him for it. I was just saying, he's a young kid, okay? He hasn't been in this position before. I thought that he came across as ill-prepared, talking out of both sides of his mouth, and more importantly than anything else, I think this is important to say. Mental health is a very, very serious issue in this day and age in our society. We understand that. Now more so than ever, we become more and more enlightened about the issue every single day. There are a whole bunch of people that don't believe a damn thing that he's saying about mental health issues. Mm-hmm. Now, people have their opinions. We don't know. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But you got people that looked at him yesterday and were like, the only reason he ain't playing is because he wants to make sure he adds credence to this issue, because he knows if he immediately comes out there and plays, the minute he gets traded from Philadelphia, people will automatically point to, oh, you damn sure can't be believed now about the mental health issue, and then he'll get excoriated because of that. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is, considering the issue and the sensitivity of the issue that we were all discussing over the last few months, Jay, Mad Dog, about Ben Simmons, I would have liked to see him more polished for that interview yesterday, but it's not his fault. I think the people who were assigned to prep him for that interview, for the press conference, did a poor job.
100%. And I don't argue with you at all here from that standpoint. You got to trust him on the mental health, and right. I'm not sure if you can trust him on a mental health. All of a sudden, he couldn't make free throws against Atlanta in Game 7. He couldn't make shots. He gets benched in big situations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Doc Rivers said we got to work on this in the summertime, and mm-hmm. Bede wasn't in love, and now we have mental health issues. So the coincidence is a little odd. You got to be fair. Is a little odd. As far as him as a player is concerned, I do think with the Nets, assuming Kyrie plays with this vaccination, maybe by, you know, April, you'll be able to play here in Brooklyn without, I think he'll fit perfectly. He's just not the score. When he has to score and he has to make some free throws and shoot some threes, open up the floor a little bit, and you're the expert, not me, you played, he is not, I don't like him on, I wouldn't want him on my team. But if he's got another player who can score in big spots and he can do what he does well, lead the break, rebound, play defense, sort of be a third wheel, I think it's a good trade for the Nets. But I don't know what the Kyrie Irving scenario is. But here's a guy in a big spot. If I was a coach, I would have trouble trusting, because he is not going to put the ball in the basket with 5-6 minutes to go when your season's on the line. And I don't know, Jay, in this day and age in the NBA, in old days, if you can't score when they need a basket and your ball's in your hands constantly, mm-hmm. I think that's a major problem.
It's good to rock out with you for the first time. Right?
Yeah,
that's really good. First time this is happening.
First time.
Yeah, now to you.
Yes.
Ben Simmons gets paid millions of dollars to put the ball in the bucket, or maybe not to put the ball in the bucket.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Ben Simmons does not get paid millions of dollars like us to articulate his thoughts properly all the time.
That's true.
He is not a politician. He is not an orator. That is not what he practices. Mm-hmm. And I think to use terms like ill-prepared for somebody that is discussing any mental issue at all, mm-hmm. I think diminishes what somebody has to deal with. Now, I understand that people can say they don't believe, whether that's true or not. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's like, here, I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. If Mad Dog were to tear his ACL, I've had a complete knee dislocation. That means I tore every ligament in my leg, in my knee. I wouldn't dare look at Mad Dog and be like, you're complaining about your ACL? For him, in his life, that may be the worst thing that's ever happened to him. Mm-hmm. I can't diminish that because I've had something more extreme happen to me. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we have to approach the conversation with Ben Simmons with one key word, grace. I think everybody handles adversity differently. Kobe Bryant may have thrived in a situation like that. Mm-hmm. Ben Simmons being 25 years long, he may not have thrived. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example, because I understand a little bit of the scenario without divulging too much.
Sure.
Everybody has different work environment issues. I think some people, how they handle Stephen A., when somebody looks at you and they say something to your face, but then they go behind your back and they feel like you may get backstabbed, mm-hmm. everybody handles that differently.
That's true.
Because it almost seemed intentional that Ben Simmons did not shoot the ball in these games. It almost seemed a little bit intentional.
Okay.
Now, I will tell you how much Ben Simmons loves hoops, and this, to me, allows me to understand how I think it's something a little bit deeper mm-hmm. than people are trying to say it's just a surface thing because he just doesn't want to be there. Ben Simmons loves his country. Now, KD destroyed Milwaukee, even though they lost. They went on to go play USA basketball, right? Got them to become champs, did extremely well. Ben Simmons didn't go play for Team Australia. Mm-hmm. That's his country. He loves him. He always talks about that every time I talk to him. Mm-hmm. He disappeared. Mm-hmm. Ben Simmons got fined. Now, he's trying to fight to get his fine money back to a degree. Mm-hmm. But I think when we discuss these type of issues, mm-hmm. it's very important that we come at it not with saying, I'm trying to diminish you, or I'm trying to say you're ill-prepared about something, mm-hmm. but we actually kind of approach it with some white gloves, man, because mm-hmm. we have to be a little bit delicate because everybody gets affected differently.
Okay.
And that's how I feel about it.
Okay. I respect where you're coming
mm-hmm.
from. I don't totally disagree. That's why when it came to Ben Simmons, I pointed to people who prepped him for the interview as opposed to himself, because mm-hmm. he is young, inexperienced, and I think that you got to dot your I's and cross your T's. Why do I feel that way? Because some things are bigger than you, and some things ain't about you. Everything that you just said, everything that you just articulated made a lot of sense for Ben Simmons. But there are people out there that will look at Jay Williams and say, Jay, what if he was lying?
Mm-hmm.
What if he used this as an excuse just to make sure he didn't have to play for the Philadelphia 76ers anymore while ensuring that he's still able to get his money? When they ask those questions, now, let me finish.
Okay.
Because, again, we're trying to be delicate. We're trying to display grace in acknowledging that he says that's an issue, that's a very, very big deal. But you have people out there who have suffered. I believe it was one guy, I forgot his name, he was on radio in New York, and he was very, very honest, hosting radio, I forgot where it was, in New York City, and he was very, very honest and forthcoming about his bouts with depression and mental health issues. And he took issue with Ben Simmons saying that's what he was going through and highlighted point by point some of the things that he would challenge. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is, as somebody, whether you know how I was when my mother died or you and others and the kind of things that we've gone through emotionally, at the end of the day, when you publicize what your bout is and use that as justification for doing what some people would term as unprofessional, then all of a sudden you've taken your business and you've made it other people's business because in their eyes, you're comparing your plight to what they're doing. And as a result, now they're going to dissect the legitimacy of your claims. And if they discover in their mind that it's illegitimate, then not only are they upset at you because of what you may have deceived them about, what they're saying is you have minimized and diluted the importance and the significance of a mental health issue. And so when people look at Ben Simmons right now, that's what they're doing. They're saying to themselves, this whole mental health issue that everybody that has been percolating throughout our society for quite some time over the last few years, what you have done is you have minimized that, and they're going to have a problem with you because they're going to think you're making their lives harder because when they go to work and they try to sit up there and say they have this issue and it's real, somebody's going to look at a situation like that.
to minimize what they're saying that their problem is. Those are the kind of things that you have to pay attention to. You're talking about grace, and my response to that would be, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Grace to whom?
So let's talk about the context of the matter, because I believe
And Doug, you chime in now.
I'm sorry, yeah.
No, I think, Steve, you have to trust Ben Simmons on the mental health issues.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not sure if I do. I don't know if Steve does.
I'm not sure.
It's too coincidental to me. I mean, he had a bad postseason. Doc Rivers said some things. Embiid said some things. And all of a sudden, he wants out of Philadelphia, wants to make sure he gets his money. What's the best way to do it? Have the agent figure out something with mental health issues. Shows up in Brooklyn. He's going to be ready to play in 2 weeks. So that's a little weird.
Let me say one thing in defense of Ben Simmons. He did say he was having these mental health issues prior to the postseason and that the team was aware. And he did discuss the skepticism about his mental health. And he said folks should be happy that I'm smiling because I was dealing with some very dark days. So just to give his side, he said this started way before the postseason.
Before Jay chimes in, it's very, very important to say, you're absolutely right about that. That's exactly what Ben Simmons says. Mm-hmm. And my response when Molly said that, then somebody's lying. Because the Sixers swear up and down that they never heard anything about mental health until the fall.
That's fine.
They're saying, camp is saying,
my job
they told
is
him
to
that
share both sides.
The minute the playoffs were over.
I understand.
So somebody's lying.
Yep.
That's somebody's lying.
Somebody's lying.
No, no, no.
Maybe this wasn't articulated.
No. What I'm saying is,
everybody has different ways of how they do it.
If Ben Simmons' camp says, we said this to the Sixers the second the playoffs were over, and the Sixers are saying, we never heard a word. Until the fall, somebody's lying.
Yeah.
That's all I said.
I do want to go back to another point. I think, Mad Dog, there are different ways to qualify what mental health is, right? So I think there's some things that are extreme. I think there's some things that may be less extreme to other people that are to other people, right? I think one of the things as it relates to Ben is that, look, if you had a job where you're making millions of dollars and you hated what you did every single day, a lot of Americans out there that hate what they do.
Or who they work for,
but they have to do it to make ends meet. If they were getting paid that certain amount of money and they felt like, hey, I actually can exercise my right to remove myself away from a situation that I think, even though it may not feel that way to you, but to me, I'm in it every damn day. I work with these people every day.
And it's a
I have to see them
cost.
Every day. Yeah. I have to deal with their BS every day. Them lying to me. Them looking at me. How you doing? You don't really care about how I'm doing. But I can remove myself away from that situation. I think a lot of people would.
Hold on.
I think a lot of people would.
I got them. Jay Williams. I completely appreciate what you're saying more than you would ever know. Because the last person on earth that gets to say that is you. And I'm going to tell you why. Sitting in that seat months ago, Doggy, you might have missed this episode. I know you didn't, Molly. What did Jay Williams say? Kyrie Irving. He was honest. He was forthcoming. He stated exactly what he felt and why. Give him credit, Stephen A. He's straight up front of what have you. What people accusing Ben Simmons of. And I'm not accusing him of that. Doggy's not accusing him of that. But what people are accusing Ben Simmons of is the fact that he may not have been honest and forthcoming about what's really bothering him, and he just went the broad issue of mental health issues when, in fact, you had a problem with the Sixers organization. Because remember, if he says, I don't want to play for the Sixers, he can't get his money. But if you say mental health, that's a bigger issue, and they can't take his money. So you got a situation where people will look at him with a raised eyebrow with some level of cynicism. Whereas with Kyrie, you may like it, you may hate it, you may not care. But he was honest. But he was honest. I'm only pointing to you because you said, wait a minute, Kyrie was open and honest. Kyrie was open and honest. That's what you said. Now Ben Simmons, millions of people are like, no. He wasn't honest. And if that's the case, now you got an explanation for that too?
So he wasn't honest because he didn't.
I didn't say that. I don't believe. I'm not going there.
So it's speculation.
You're
saying he didn't divulge the details of what was actually occurring.
He didn't divulge the details,
but
people feel the way that they feel.
Okay,
that's what we're pointing to.
I understand. There's a lot of times in my life that I think about if I were to really divulge how I feel, what the repercussions would be.
Right. Yeah.
That's honest.
Yeah.
Like, it's happened with jobs I had, like, with people I've done business with. I'm like, if I say that, then what can happen? Yeah. Then this rolls down to that. Then I could lose my job. I'm not saying that.
Right. I agree.
I'm not saying that.
I agree.
At the end of the day,
my only point is you applauded Kyrie for the honesty, but Ben Simmons, has taken a different approach in a lot of people's eyes, and now you're finding rationale to explain that away.
No, I'm not finding rationale.
That's not what you're doing?
No, like I said to you before, I'm coming to the conversation with grace. Ben Simmons is 25 years young, Stephen A. He's 25 years young. When I look at Kyrie, Kyrie's spoken out before. I mean, we've gotten on him about multiple things we haven't agreed about. Kyrie's very outspoken. I've seen Ben crawl away and hide in a corner this whole time. I haven't heard him speak publicly.
I am not speaking about Ben Simmons. I'm speaking about you.
What about me?
Your position is different with Ben Simmons.
Well, they're
Simmons.
Two different people.
Yeah, but
they're
the
two different circumstances.
I'm talking about the principled mandate you came from.
See, this is what happens.
That's what I'm saying.
This is what happens.
You came from a principled position with Kyrie.
No, he's not. He just keeps doubling and tripling down. It doesn't mean he's all right.
You came from a principled position with Kyrie, and now you come from a position of grace. You come from a position of grace.
What's my principled position with Kyrie?
He was honest. Okay. He was honest.
Yes.
So in other words,
I've got grace for Kyrie too, by the way.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is you didn't bring up grace. You brought up honesty and how that's such a big thing to applaud. And I'm not disagreeing with you because I agree with you about Kyrie with that. He was honest. And by the way, I don't like the fact that New York has a mandate that doesn't allow Kyrie Irving to play, but visitors can come and play in the
Barclays Center.
Good
point. That's fair.
By the way,
Kyrie Irving should be allowed to play in the Barclays Center.
By the way, Adam Silver brought that up with Greeny this morning.
That's right.
So the commissioner is not happy about that as well.
Exactly.
The inconsistency.
I totally agree with that. Get the shot or whatever, but the point is he should be allowed to play at the Barclays Center if visitors are allowed to come in and play at the Barclays Center.
Gentlemen, we have a minute and a half left. We're going to come back to this later, so I want to make sure any final points.
Go ahead, I'll give you the floor. Yeah, I know you want to make a final point.
All I'm saying is that, look, I would have handled things differently, but I'm also a 40-year-old grown man. I've had different life experiences. All I'm saying is
handled the situation differently at age 20, but go ahead.
I didn't handle my situation that well at 20.
Okay.
I became addicted. I suffered from depression.
Okay.
I went down a very dark alleyway, and I didn't communicate, and I lied a lot about how I felt because I thought I wanted to be something else to people.
You would know.
I didn't know how to handle talking to people about who I was because I was still trying to find out who I was.
Fair.
So there's a part of me that I understand everybody else's angle that they're coming at it from, and I get how it looks from the outside looking in.
Yeah.
But, like, we don't know what's really going on. And could it have been hijacked? There's a possibility. I understand that. But when I see the actions of knowing who Ben is, I'm kind of like, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. And I don't know.
That's
either.
All?
I don't know either. I honestly don't know.
There's not one person in that Philadelphia franchise who has confirmed that Ben Simmons told them last year that he was suffering?
Not one.
Not one.
Not one.
Not one person. Not one player.
Not one person.
Not one trainer.
Not one
marketing person.
Nobody said he mentioned it before. And again, they could be, because, you know, organizations do come together now, and they could be lying. I want to be very, very clear.
Well,
I don't know who's telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not accusing Ben Simmons of lying. I don't know. All I know is the Ben Simmons camp got one story. The Sixers have another. And it is diametrically opposed. Somebody's lying. Somebody's lying. And I don't know who.
Sometimes there's three sides to a story.
Fair.
His, hers, and the truth. All right, we will leave it there. Riveting, riveting conversation. I'm just saying, there's another option.
Right.
It could be both sides. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
It certainly wasn't the ending the Cowboys wanted, failing to win.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Playoff game, just like someone on this set predicted. Both coordinators are back, though, in Big D for 2022, much to the delight of Jerry Jones. But how is Mike McCarthy feeling? He gave his thoughts on our guy Rich Eisen show.
Jerry's the owner, he's the GM, and I mean he's always taking a 360-degree view of everything. We talked about Dan's situation. We talked about Sean Payton's narrative also. We discussed all these things. I never once felt that I was not going to be the head coach moving forward. And frankly, I've been at this long enough. That's all I'm focused on. And are these narratives unusual? Absolutely. I've never dealt with anything like this. At the end of the day, it's about the people that you're in charge of. It's about the people you coach. And most importantly, it's about our locker room. And our locker room's about winning.
Christopher?
Yeah.
It's a multi-million-dollar question, billion-dollar question. What's holding the Cowboys back?
I think there's three things for the Cowboys.
Okay.
I think the owner gets in the way too much. They've won four playoff games in the last 30 years after Jimmy and Barry Switzer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want owners doing press conferences after the game right now outside the locker room. I don't want owners doing radio shows on Monday afternoon giving me the state of the Cowboys. So I think the owner gets in the way. That's number one.
Okay.
Mike McCarthy, listen, a nice man, and he won a Super Bowl, fair. But were you happy with Mike McCarthy if you're a Cowboy fan this year with the penalties throughout the whole season that was never corrected? Mm-hmm. And then the 14 penalties, of course, in the playoff game against San Francisco. Basic mistakes. Do they drill properly? You think Lombardi is going to put up with that? You think Jimmy Johnson's going to put up with it? How about Belichick? You think he's going to allow a team to commit 14 penalties in a playoff game?
Mm-hmm.
If they committed penalties all season long, he get that corrected. But number three, and this is a bigger issue, I'm not as high on this quarterback as everybody else is.
What?
Everybody thinks that because he's on the Dallas Cowboys, you get overrated. Well, he's a Cowboy. He's wearing a star. He's Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott was not good against San Francisco. Dak Prescott didn't know the rule on making sure the umpire handled the ball before the last play of the game when he ran out of time. He didn't know the rule. Bottom line is, now you can blame that on McCarthy, but the quarterback did not know the rule that the umpire's got to touch the ball and place it down before you go out there and run another play. And that's why they ran out of time. Give me a game on the road that Dak Prescott went out there and played great football in a postseason spot. I'll give you a game a couple years ago in Philadelphia, playoffs on the line, played badly. Give me a game on the road. The game in L.A. a few years ago did not play great in that game. Certainly didn't play great here. Was outplayed by Rodgers when Green Bay played in Dallas. Give me the game in a big spot where you said to yourself, this is a big-time quarterback in the NFL. He's not as good as Burrow. He's not as good as Herbert. He's not as good as, obviously, I don't know if he's not as good as Stafford. He's not as good as Mahomes. He's not as good as Rodgers. I mean, he maybe, if I pushed it, maybe He's around 10 as far as the NFL quarterbacks are concerned, best quarterbacks in the league.
That is ridiculous.
Pushed it.
That is ridiculous. That is ridiculous. I mean, come on, man. Let me hear. 53-32 as a starting quarterback in the National Football League, okay? Started from day one. His first playoff game against Green Bay, they lost 34-31.
Played pretty well.
Over 300
yards. He played well.
I mean, that throw by Aaron Rodgers was one of the spectacular throws. I'm talking now. Don't give me fair. Don't stop the momentum. I'm coming, okay? The fact of the matter is, his first playoff game, he showed up against Aaron freaking Rodgers, okay? And if Aaron Rodgers doesn't make that beautiful one of the all-time great throws that we've seen down the left sideline with a cat just tap dance inbounds and caught that pass to set up the game-winning field goal, 34-31, Green Bay wins that game. We're talking about Dak in a much different light. Now, I understand. Went against the Rams in the playoffs, wasn't great. We know what just happened with the 49ers, wasn't great. I get all of that. The game at Green Bay, okay? We just saw a lot of that. I'm sorry, not at Green Bay, because that was a BCL.
In Philly, a couple years ago, last game of the year.
Okay, we get all of that. Here's my point. 53-32, like 163 touchdowns and just 50 interceptions.
All right.
Okay. A quarterback rating of 98. Now I get the 1-3 playoff record. But he is playing for Mike McCarthy, okay? He is playing for Jerry Jones. You brought up two individuals that have significant cachet in terms of getting in the way. They're in position to get in the way. You got guys, CeeDee Lamb didn't show up, okay? Amari Cooper didn't get open. Ezekiel Elliott has nosedived. His level of production has diminished
greatly. He played poorly against San Francisco. Be fair.
He did. But here's what I'm saying to you. When I look at the quarterbacks in the National, I can't believe you got me defending the Dallas Cowboys. Boy, this is a bad day for me, Mad Dog. Bad day. But here's the deal. I got to do it anyway. Brady's gone. We know who Rodgers is. We know who Patrick Mahomes is. Joe Burrow. Justin Herbert.
Four.
Okay.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, definitely. We got Matthew Stafford because he's got a Super Bowl.
That's six right there. Not even. Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Russell Wilson.
You know what? Hey, listen. Russell Wilson's been struggling the last couple of years.
He's not as good as Russell Wilson. That's not fair.
I'm not saying he's as good as Russell Wilson, but I'm just saying we brought up some big-time quarterbacks. There's no doubt. But Dak Prescott is definitely a top 10 quarterback. I would say top
eight.
We're
at seven right now.
I would say
top eight. How is he a top eight? I even think about it, and he's eight. He's not any better than the seven guys you just named.
Excuse me. I didn't say that. But what I'm saying to you is this. We haven't seen enough from Justin Herbert yet. I love him. I love him. I love him.
He's not as good as Herbert. That's not fair.
The man has that. Excuse me. Dak Prescott has had some big-time games in the regular season, too. We ain't seen Justin Herbert in the playoffs yet. Can a man throw a pass in the playoffs first? I love Justin Herbert. I believe in him. But can he throw a pass in the playoffs first before you're going to condemn Dak Prescott for his playoff performance?
Can he do that? Worst division in football is what?
The NFC East, no doubt.
Okay. Does he have six games against that division all year?
That's true.
You don't think that helps him?
I think that definitely helps him.
Look at the teams he beat this year. Carolina. I mean, he beat terrible football teams.
We're talking about his performance because we could point to a lot of things that the Cowboys do wrong that has assisted in them losing games. When they lost the opener to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and
Tom
Brady, was that his fault?
No.
Exactly. And we could point to a lot of things that ain't Dak Prescott's fault, but ultimately he's the quarterback. And I understand that. All I'm trying to tell you is this. Don't tell me he's not easily a top 10 quarterback.
We need to go back to that list because I need to challenge you because you haven't gotten to 10 yet,
I will get to 10.
So you have Burrow, Herbert, Rodgers, Stafford. I crossed out Brady, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Russell Wilson.
That's seven.
Who else is in there? We need to get to 10.
You need two more.
Are we going Kyler Murray?
No.
Okay.
Not after that performance. Okay. Absolutely.
Are you going Lamar Jackson?
You know what?
Because right now he's in your top 10,
you know
Mad
what?
Dog.
Be fair. You got a game to win for your life. You want Lamar Jackson or you want Dak Prescott?
I want Lamar. Hold on. Time out. I might want Lamar, but it would be for his running ability more so than passing.
That's number one.
And number two, Lamar Jackson just won his first playoff game last year against Tennessee. Okay? That's one.
That's the same amount of games that Dak Prescott has won, by the way.
Wait a minute. You're holding it against Dak Prescott. His playoff performance. What about Lamar Jackson's first two playoff performances?
Bad. He's
so awful. You just going to say that. You can't just say that.
Hold up. We're not done. Right now, he is still in your top 10.
And I got a nine, right?
No, yeah. No. If you give me, Lamar Jackson, I got a nine.
You have a nine.
I got
no. So he's in your top ten.
No, he's not sure about two of them.
I'm going to give you two.
Go ahead.
I'm going to give you two.
Go ahead.
Life on the line.
Go ahead.
You think he's better than Cousins?
Hell yes.
All right.
Hell yes. Hold on. I might disqualify you from the show.
Hold on now.
You just bring up Kirk Cousins?
Cousins won a playoff game on the road?
Oh, my God.
The answer
Kirk
is yes.
Cousins?
Has he won a playoff game on the road?
Absolutely not.
Did Dak Prescott win a playoff game on the road?
No.
No.
Come
Cousins
on, man.
Beat Breeze in New
Come
Orleans.
On, man. It's oh, football and team sport.
You I'm not in love with Cousins either, but you're making Prescott out to be a little better than
me.
Now you're just trying to force it. You have him at number nine.
Derek Carr?
No.
Oh, come on. Now, you can't just automatically say, no, that's a debate.
Yes,
that's close.
I watched the game just like you
so
do.
He's thinking of people and marinating on this. And we'll give you time. Where are you having him? So you have Burrow ahead of him. You have Herbert.
I got him top 10.
You have Rodgers. You have Mahomes ahead of him. Josh Allen. Do you have Matthew Stafford ahead of Dak?
Yes, now.
Okay.
Just now.
What about Lamar and Russell?
Russell, yes. Not Lamar. No.
What number do you I forgot about. Good job.
No, don't get me wrong. I would want Lamar because of his running ability. Right.
We were splitting hairs here.
You got a pass.
Barely scratches.
Top 10.
Barely.
Okay.
We put him at 10.
Hold up. Before we go to break, you think Mac Jones eventually passes him?
I'm not ready to say that. No.
Okay.
Not ready to say that. Here's what I will tell you. You give me a quarterback, and I'm not putting him in the top 10. It's not fair. Well, you're giving me a quarterback for the next 5 years. Would I take Dak Prescott or Trevor Lawrence? I'm taking Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, I forgot about Trevor Lawrence.
I
don't even know what Trevor Lawrence is.
He won a championship in college.
I get that, but college is different than the pros.
He beat Alabama.
He's highly touted, but he didn't get a fair shake this season. We don't even know what Trevor Lawrence
is. Okay. But since we're doing that, guess what? Bryce Young out of Alabama in 5 years. Right. He's going to be special, too. Okay. That's what we're doing now. We get the cat out of the trap. We've been elevating
them. You don't like Lawrence?
Stop it.
You don't like Lawrence?
Gentlemen, work with me.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.